الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم أعظم درجة عند الله، وأولئك هم الفائزون. يبشرهم ربهم برحمة منه ورضوان، وجنات لهم فيها نعيم مقيم خالدين فيها أبدا، إن الله عنده أجر عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as we enter into this month of Safar, let us ponder and reflect on the lessons of Muharram, and in particular the lessons of Hijrah. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a need arose for the establishment of the Islamic calendar. Prior to that, there was no Islamic calendar as such. So a letter reached Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and there's differences of opinion as to the exact nature of what occurred. But one opinion is this, that it was dated Sha'ban. This letter that reached Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was dated Sha'ban, and this letter was from Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It had no year on it. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not sure now exactly when this letter was written. So Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashri radiallahu anhu raised this concern with Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and at that time a need arose for an Islamic calendar to be established. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. That the Islamic calendar consists of 12 months, and from amongst the 12 months, 4 months are sacred months. Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, the month of Muharram that just passed, and the month of Rajab. So these 4 months are sacred months. 3 months are consecutive, and the month of Rajab, 4 months are sacred months. So now there was a need to establish an Islamic calendar with a starting point. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made mashwara with the Sahaba, and various opinions were given. Some opinions were given that the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be the starting point of the Islamic calendar. Some felt that the Mi'raj should be the starting point of the Islamic calendar. Some felt that the Battle of Badr, a great momentous occasion in Islamic history, this should be the starting point of the Islamic calendar. Some opinions were that Fath Makkah should start the Islamic calendar. And amongst the opinions that were given was that the Hijrah should be the starting point of the Islamic calendar. So after listening to all these opinions, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used the Hijrah to be the starting point of the Islamic calendar. And what is the reason behind it? The reasoning behind it was that this Mubarak Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, that journey from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madina Munawwara, where they left everything behind, each and every asset of this, they left it behind and they undertook this journey. It was such a great and a momentous journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed mentions that Alladina amanu wa hajaru wa jahadu fi sabilillahi bi amwalihim wa anfusihim, that those that undertook this journey with their wealth and their own selves, a'zamu darajatan 'inda Allah, that they have the highest rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reasoning behind it was that everything was sacrificed for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sahaba, they went through a lot of difficulty and hardship. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prior to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making hijrah, on the one hand, they went through torture, they went through persecution, they went through a lot of difficulty and hardship. Many Sahaba, male and female, were made shaheed for this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to not retaliate. And when this became too much, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahaba permission that in small numbers, on the one hand they were torturing them, they were harming them, but they did not want to allow them to leave peacefully from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara. Their whole entire objective was to destroy Islam. So despite them going through this difficulty and hardship, they made that hijrah. And it was such a difficult time. Allah Ta'ala gave them permission now. Nabi Akram Sallam granted them that go and secretly move to Madinah Munawwara. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, Hazrat Aisha mentions that when Allah Ta'ala informed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he has now to leave, and on this occasion we also see the close companionship that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Aisha mentions that I did not know prior to this that any person could cry tears of joy until I saw my beloved father, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, crying tears of joy when he was informed that he will be the chosen companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed refers to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Allah Ta'ala declares that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on this journey also we saw the bond that Hazrat Abu Bakr had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They left Makkah secretly, they arrive at the cave. Hazrat Abu Bakr first tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, allow me first to go inside. He goes inside, he cleans up that entire cave. Whatever was inside, he removed it. And thereafter he broke off his scarf and he began covering off whatever holes were in that cave. He tried to cover each and every hole, there was one hole that was left. Hazrat Abu Bakr goes into that cave, he sits in that cave, and thereafter he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come in. Hazrat Abu Bakr takes his own heel and covers that one hole that was left in that cave. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, thereafter Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam places his Mubarak cheek on the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and falls asleep in this condition. Whilst they are asleep in that cave, a scorpion comes and bites at the heel of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Abu Bakr had such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that despite the pain, he did not awaken the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Eventually, the pain became so much that tears began dripping down his cheek, from his cheek onto the Mubarak cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Nabi alayhi salam awakens and he inquires from Hazrat Abu Bakr, "Dear Abu Bakr, what is the matter? Why are you crying?" Hazrat Abu Bakr says, "Dear Nabi of Allah, this scorpion has bitten me." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter takes his Mubarak saliva and applies it on the heel of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was cured from this bite. Such was the bond that he had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, someone asked Hazrat Umar, "That Umar, who is greater in rank, you or Abu Bakr?" We know Hazrat Umar, his maqam and his stature. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned that lokana ba'di nabiyun lakana Umar, that if after me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to choose a nabi, that Allah ta'ala would have chosen Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many lands were conquered In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was Amirul Mu'mineen, but he was so respected and he was so loved that he used to sleep alone under a tree without the need of any bodyguard or any person protecting him. Such was his love amongst the people. So somebody comes to Hazrat Umar and asks him that who is greater in rank, you or Abu Bakr? When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu hears this, he begins crying. And thereafter he says that the entire life of Umar is not equal to just one day and one night in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If you have to place the entire life of Umar on one side of the scale, and just one day and one night of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one day and one night is greater than the entire life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And which day and night he was referring to? He was referring to that night in that cave that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the day he was referring to is after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, and there were a group that were denying the validity and the compulsion of zakat. Hazrat Abu Bakr was ready to wage war against them. So Hazrat Umar at that time felt that they should not be waged war against. So Hazrat Umar at that time, Hazrat Abu Bakr told Hazrat Umar that in the days of Jahiliyyah, Ajabbarun fil Jahiliyyah, Khawarun fil Islam, that prior to Islam, you were a very, very forceful person, and now you become a soft person. That even if they do not pay one string that is due in zakat, I will wage war against them. So Hazrat Umar thereafter realized that Hazrat Abu Bakr has foresight, and they wage war against them. So you see that day he's referring to of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they were going on the journey also, sometimes he stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes to the right, sometimes to the left, sometimes behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Mubarak journey of Hijrah. It was such a difficult journey that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaving, he turns around, he looks at the city of Makkah, and he addresses the city and says that, "Oh Makkah, your city that is most beloved to me, were it not your inhabitants forcefully driving me out, I would never ever have left you." Such was the difficulty and hardship that they endured when they left and they made this hijrah from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. Like that other Sahaba, ajma'in, they went through a lot of difficulty and hardship. Amongst them, Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is leaving Makkatul Mukarramah. Some Quraysh youngsters, they followed him and stopped him from leaving. So Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala addresses them and he says, Nabi Akrim Sallam had already made hijrah. So they asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Madinah Munawwara to go and join my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So they stopped him. They said, "You cannot leave." So Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu addresses them and tells them that, "You know well, I'm not afraid to fight. I have with me my bows and my arrows. I will not feel hard in using every arrow that I possess. And once all my arrows are finished, I will use my sword and I will fight you. And either I will come to an end or you will come to an end. But I'm not going to stop in my objective from undertaking this journey of Hijrah to Madinah Munawwara." But thereafter he tells them that I have another proposal for you. So they ask him, what is your proposal? A believer, his objective is always the Akhirat and to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is his goal, that how I can attain my Jannat. A kafir, his objective is how he can attain maximum of this dunya. Ad-dunya sijunul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. Nabi Akrim also mentions that the dunya, this world, the glitter, the glamour, the attractions of this world is for the kuffar. This dunya is a prison for the believer. He has to follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot follow his nafs and whatever his desire tells him. But it is a jannat for a kafir. Kafir does as he pleases and he will run after the glitter and the temporary enjoyment of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kept in store for something far greater and far better than that. So Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his objective was the akhirat. His objective was to go and reunite with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he tells him that I have a proposal for you. And what is that offer that you are ready to make? He says that I have left Makkah and I have left everything that I possess in Makkatul Mukarramah, and I will direct you to where I've left it. I have buried it, secured it in a certain place. You are welcome, you are free to go to Makkah and take everything that I have left. All I am requesting that you allow me safe passage to Madinah Munawwara. We can understand from this also that the word, the zuban, the promise of a believer, they did not doubt him. Hazrat Suhaib tells him this, and they took his word for it. They did not doubt him in any way. That is how a believer should be. That whatever he mentions, there should be truth in it. So they go and they take his wealth. And Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu thereafter goes and unites with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not yet entered Madina Munawwara. He was still on the outskirts in Quba. When Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu reaches Masjid al-Quba, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated there. As soon as he enters in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you imagine the bond that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had and the love that Hazrat Suhaib had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As he enters, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is smiling. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses Hazrat Suhaib and says that, "Oh Suhaib, what a great transaction you have done. What a great transaction you have done." Hazrat Suhaib is shocked. "Oh Nabi of Allah, there cannot be anyone. There was nobody present apart from those Quraysh youngsters. It can only be Jibreel Amin that has informed you." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the ayat of the Quran in Majid. Jibreel Amin comes down and Nabi Kareem recites the ayat of the Quran. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. That amongst mankind are those who sell themselves. يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ. They sell themselves. Whatever they possess, they give up everything of this dunya. What is their objective? إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. They want to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that should be the objective and the goal of every believer. That whatever comes, the glitter and the glamour of this dunya can come in front of you. Our objective is to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, today we find that many a times, may Allah protect us, may Allah save us, may Allah ta'ala guide us. A person is ready to sell his deen for a few meager commodities of the dunya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the hadith that a time will come upon the people that a person will wake up in the morning as a believer, by the evening he is a kafir. يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. He will go to sleep as a believer in the evening, and by the morning he is a disbeliever. Why? يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will sell his deen for a few meager commodities of this dunya. Whatever the orders and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will go against it. Why? Because of the glitter and the glamour of the dunya. May Allah protect us and may Allah save us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu that what a great transaction you have done. And this was the sacrifices that the Sahaba made on this journey of Hijrah, that they gave everything. Why? To attain and earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Friends and elders, we are not asked to undertake this journey of Hijrah, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different ahadith also has informed of the Hijrah we have to make. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. A muhajir, a person who migrates, he migrates from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited him from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in the Quran Majid, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. That migrate, flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant by this? That flee, migrate, move away from a life of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a life of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Move away from a life of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards a life of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Move away from a life of slavery to a person's nafs and shaitan. Following his, whatever his nafs tells him, following whatever his desires tells him, whatever his heart tells him to do, move away from that life to a life to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَا وَالذُّنُوبَ. A muhajir, a migrant, is that person who goes away, he moves away, he flees away from sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the hijrah we have to make, to bring each command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our lives, to move away from the life of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes from us, we have to stay away from it. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do, we have to bring that into our lives. May we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing about this hijrah, these lessons of hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.